I can hear you. All right. Good to see everyone this morning. Thank you for making the Lord's house a priority. We would like to thank our church family for all you have done for our family. Thank you, Brother Ben, for being a part of the service. Thank you to the church ladies for the wonderful meal. Thank you to the youth for bringing us a delicious meal on Sunday night. Talking to you, Brad. Thank you. Well, no doubt. But this is a thank you to you, is the reason I was getting your attention. Thank you to the youth for bringing us a delicious meal on Sunday night. Thank you for all the prayers and kind words. Dan and Renee, Obi, and Mike and Dina worked. And this is, of course, in reference to the loss of Dina and Renee's sister 2 weeks ago. Great to have you with us. Do we have an absolute, I mean, you've never stepped foot in this building before type thing, visitor? If you do, if we do, would you raise your hand? We'd like to bring a connect card. I don't see a hand. Let's all stand. So I made sure that the first service and I were communicating because, you know, communication's a beautiful thing when it happens. I don't remember exactly what I said last week to the second service, but I knew that I had kind of, you know, mistreated them a little bit to all of you guys' laughter and humor. So I wanted to make sure that they knew that sometimes, you know, I take advantage of them and the such. And I don't think I surprised anybody. I want to make sure you guys know that I'd make fun of you, too, in the first service, okay? Just so we're all on the same level. Amen. Well, Brad, you're a weekly thing. Amen. So this is a middle age in a nutshell, and this is just for an attempt of humor. It's been quite humorous to me as I grow older to see people my age considering themselves middle age. If I'm middle age, I'm living to 114, and my A1C says that ain't happening. And so, with that said, this is just for the giggles, okay? Middle age, number one. Who cares what if it looks? Well, who cares if it looks good? I'm comfortable. Okay, sorry about that. Number two, has anyone seen my phone? If you haven't done that, you probably live with someone who does. Number three, stupid scale, that can't be right. Number four, shoot, did I already take my vitamins? Number five, I wonder how I got this bruise. Number six, why is the print on these instructions so tiny? You see how close I'm holding this? Yeah. Number seven, $5 for a box of cereal? They raised the price and shrunk the box. Such a racket. Yeah. Number eight, software update again? I don't like updates. Number nine, who in the world is calling me at 9:30 p.m.? Number 10, sorry, I forgot what I was going to say. That's me a lot. Number 11, wait, what did I come in here for? Mm-hmm. And then lastly, but certainly not least, I could have sworn that was my password. All right. So if you struggle with any of those, you may be middle-aged or you may be older than middle-aged. If you don't, if the Lord blesses you with good age, you will. It's so good to see you here today. This type of Sunday comes every 6, 7, or 8 years, depending on leap year and all that neat stuff. But it's always an oddity to me, the Sunday right after Christmas, meaning Christmas was on Saturday. So now I've got all week to contemplate my New Year's resolutions. Because a lot of times our Christmas Sunday is like a day before. It seems like. I know it happens this way every year, type meaning. In other words, every 7 years we do the same thing. But I don't know why, but this always catches me off guard. Today, we're not going to talk about New Year's resolutions. We are going to talk about how to get ready for your New Year's resolutions. And you've got the whole song service to prepare your heart and mind. Because if you're like most folks, you don't like New Year's resolutions. We're going to deal with that a little bit. But we're going to talk about how to hear from God about what we should be making improvements upon. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I love you. I thank you for every person that's gathered here. I thank you for Bethel Baptist Church. I ask you to help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Speak to us, Father. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated.
Praise you with all of my strength.
Chapter 6, verse 6 puts it this way: knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Years and years ago, a fellow challenged me to memorize this chapter, and I've had it memorized a time or two throughout life. I've got about 6 verses of it still, if you will, that I own in my memory. And it's this one that is kind of the high water mark. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You're either going to serve sin, your flesh, or you're going to serve Christ. There's no middle ground. There's no fence riding. You're on one side or the other. The great news is it's your choice. You do not have to serve sin because it's been canceled. It's been canceled. Sin, the power of sin, has been canceled. All sin has been canceled by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know when, but sometime after college, I feel like the Holy Spirit put this together for me. Now, this is very important. Theologically, 666 is not the number for Satan. Theologically, 666 is man's number. But would you agree with me that if you say 666 to anybody in the world, they assume and they think of the devil, right? Well, God knew that. God knew that would be the case. Romans is the 6th book of the New Testament. 6th chapter, the 6th verse, has the most powerful verse of sin, meaning against. Sin is a canceled situation. You and I make a choice. If we sin, it's our choice. And if we want to serve Christ, it's our choice. We can. Can we do it? Yes, we can, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. I know that's y'all's favorite cartoon or whatever. That's right. Bob the Builder. We even have a Bob the Builder here. He's not maybe in this service, but Bob Rapold. All right. I love you, church. What a tremendous crowd on this day after Christmas. Now, Bo's already told us in first service it was the most disappointing day for him, and much to the shock of his mother. And I'm kidding. I just said, did y'all you get what you wanted? And Bo went, no. He wants a hoverboard. And Mom and Dad says, not yet. Amen. I support that. Did the rest of you get what you wanted? Say amen. All right. Give it, hey, Brad, did you get a hoverboard, Brad? Oh, Brad didn't get a hoverboard either. Probably for the same reasons that Bo didn't get one. You're going to hurt yourself. All right. We had some very special guests with us at first service. We have some folks again here with us today, Hannah and Rachel. My son Tony is back with us to stay for a while. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. But these are folks that we pray for, and we're going to keep doing that. The Havrilkas was with us this morning. Kenneth, help me. Brown was here from our armed services. John Corfitivo was here last week. Such of that name. Yeah, he's got a long name. Is he here still? All right, John. Praise the Lord. Say again. Lucas Eves is here. Praise the Lord. We pray for you every Sunday, Lucas. We love you. It's good to have everybody. Is there anybody else special guest with us today? Help me. Nobody? Meaning nobody else? All right, well, let's pray. Here we go. I love you, Lord. I thank you for just such a wonderful family that you've gathered here. I thank you for all these folks that we have tried to put a loving spotlight on. I thank you for what they mean to you and what you mean to them. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to spend time with you this week. I pray that the message that I'm about to bring that I feel like is from you will help us to do that this week, that we will spend time with you on a daily basis so that when we meet those within our sphere of influence, they will know that we've spent time with you. Father, I believe that revival is in this process. I pray, Lord, for the cancer sick that we have at our church, Millie Barnes, Sue Brand, Linda Dickinson, Karen Fleer, Dan Goodman, Susan Paxson, Lynn Prince, Kevin Pulse, Robert Rapold, that you would heal them completely, totally, and wholly of cancer. Father, for the Martins, the Lowers, the Nances, the Henthorns, the Domkeys, the Murphys, the Havrilkas, the Ramseys, Benjamin and Tony Kingston, Rachel and Hannah Licklider, Brandon Weiss, Lucas Eves, Kenneth Brown, John Michael Davenport, Cortivo II, we ask you to give them that spiritual breath of fresh air that they need to be the lighthouse of the gospel at their service, at their community, at their neighborhood, at their home, at their work, at their church. We ask that you would bless this offering today, that you would bless it by the riches and glory by Christ Jesus to meet the needs of this church. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
It's time. So, Brad, what was the special thing you did last week? I never did hear. Amen. I made an ornament last Sunday. We're going to be in two different places. 1 Samuel chapter 3 is a place we're going to end up at the end of the message. 1 Samuel chapter 3. I've got my little, if you've got one of these in your Bible, that's what I put there. Of course, if you're using your phone or your iPad, you won't need that. But we're going to start off at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to share with you, just in way of review, God has used these things in my life this week to remind me of the miraculous birth of Christ and the three things that we brought out last week that miraculous birth should remind us of and tell us each and every day. Again, in way of review, point number one of last week's message was simply this: nothing did, nothing could, nothing will ever stop your God from loving you. Nothing. Amen. And every person that lives on this planet, ever has, ever is, or ever will, can say that also. They may not ever experience his love, but they can say with factual accuracy, nothing did, nothing could, nothing would, nothing will ever stop God from loving them. Point number two of last week, and this is all drawn from the miracles. Your obedience to God's plans for your life is supported by the full cast of God's entourage. There's nothing that will stay in the warehouse that God needs to move heaven and earth to bring his plan about in your life if you and I will provide the obedience. If we'll provide the obedience, he'll move heaven and earth to make it happen. I shared with you quite personally about my brother's struggle. He has an appointment next Sunday. It was originally this Sunday, but he has an appointment next Sunday with the church that sponsors the John 3:16 program that he is going into. And so I'm praying and asking you to pray that he will keep that appointment next Sunday and that he will enter into that program. It's a 6 to 8 month program. It's a very in-depth, very serious addictions program. And yes, please, please pray. Barry's obedience to God's plans for his life will be supported by God's full entourage. I believe that. Number three, no love relationship with God is complete or whole without complete surrender to the transcendent cause of others. Every one of us, no matter our struggles, when we quote unquote get our life straight, God's quickly going to take us to other people to help and to serve and to help them get further in their walk with him. So as we prepare for next Sunday's message about the improvements that you need to make and I need to make in our lives, I thought it was important first to start with how to hear what those things may be. You see, every one of us could make resolutions that might be obvious to anyone else that we need to work on, weight or whatever you want to, you know, point to. And even if we accomplish all of those things and do not know what God wants us to improve upon, we've spun our wheels. We've wasted our time. You see, I could set all sorts of physical and financial and whatever you want to call it, mental health goals and achieve those goals, but if they do not and are not directed from God in his kingdom and for his kingdom, I've wasted my time. And in 10 million years, it's not going to matter if I got skinny. In 10 million years, it's not going to matter if I've got Bill Gates type wealth. In 10 million years, it's not going to matter if I'm the most mentally healthy person you've ever seen, and I'll never be that guy. Amen. Thank you, Brian. Hello, pot. This is kettle. Now, both of us have bought into managing our crazy, okay? So we're both recovering. Church, listen to me. But if we hear from him and we make those improvements, now we're doing something. Now we're gaining some ground. Now, this particular situation is very close to my heart because if you know me, I'm a procrastinator. Oh, yeah, that might be a shock to some of you. If it is, you don't know me. I'm a procrastinator. But this is what you got to know. My brother is the king of procrastinators, but he is in heaven. And I sit at the right-hand throne. I've had people say, boy, you're a pretty good procrastinator. I'm like, you haven't met my brother. And I have tried to learn from my brother's experience because my brother got some of the worst advice, and I mean that in all seriousness, that anyone could ever get. You see, Tony was a procrastinator. Tony was a bad procrastinator. Tony had gotten married, and his procrastination was hurting his marriage. He had gotten a son, and procrastination was hurting his fatherhood. And he saw all that. And he decided, because I was in college when all this happened, Tony and I were best friends, and I saw Tony, quote unquote, turn over a new leaf. I saw Tony make up his mind, I'm not going to be this way for the rest of my life. I'm going to, quote unquote, get organized. And he started fixing stuff around the house. He started doing things in an orderly fashion, on an on-time fashion. Watch this. But he had a fella, he was his landlord. He loved him and respected him, and he was a wise fella, but he gave Tony some of the worst advice anyone can give a procrastinator, and this is what he said, because he saw what Tony was trying to do, and he thought he was being funny, and he said, Tony, I want to give you some of the most important advice I've ever learned. And Tony's like, yeah, yeah, never, and I'm going to say it in that guy's voice, never do today what you can put off till tomorrow. And Tony went, yeah, yeah. And it was like the windows of heaven opened up and a Moses-looking guy came down and gave Tony the one commandment. Never do today what you can put off till tomorrow. Listen to me, church. Tony was 41 years old before he knew what he was going to be when he grew up. And he died 3 months later. I love Tony. And Tony is an amazing example in a lot of areas, but not in the area of organization. Not in the area of overcoming procrastination. And so I've taken Tony's experience and I've tried to improve upon it. And I've tried to not buy into that type of situation. Because listen to me. Again, in first service, I started with this thought, and so I want to get there. You might not like New Year's resolutions. I've heard people say, I don't do New Year's resolutions, Brother Ben. That's fine. That's fine. Do you believe in improvement? That's all I want to know. If you believe in improvement, then call it what you gotta. But let's seek the Lord in this next week, and let's see what we need to improve upon. And then let's do it. And so I just want to build that. Let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. In fairness to God's word, the context here is sexual purity. That's the absolute context. And I support that, meaning this is where the most power of these verses come into play. But we're not doing any damage, if you will, to these two verses to realize that this permeates all areas of life. Whether it is overeating, whether it is exposing yourself to the world, addictions, fill in the blank. These two verses God will use to set you free. Here we go. Chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Who gets to decide what New Year's resolution gets made? That's the question to, if you will, prepare us for this message. Who gets to decide what your New Year's resolution will be? Shouldn't it be the Lord? Based on these two verses, it absolutely should be. I've told you before, years and years ago, at a vulnerable part of Dawn and I's marriage, I was struggling. And as I was walking across that parking lot, the Holy Spirit visited with me and said, you're struggling because she has a rightful demand upon your time. And the reason that that rang so true is because a few years previous, when I was dealing, if you will, with the Lordship of Christ, he said it the same way, except he put himself in that position instead of my wife. You're struggling because I have a rightful demand upon you. You see, the scripture reminds us of the truth. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. And what a price. He gave his life, the bleeding, dying form of Jesus. We sang about it this morning. While we were singing, I was asking God, Father, help us all to go there in our minds. Help us all to see the bleeding, dying form of Jesus and help bring us to that place of, yes, Lord, you paid it all. You own me. I am yours. Lock, stock, and barrel. And so, yes, absolutely. The Lord is the one that has the right to tell us what improvements we need to make for his sake in his, for his glory. God should be the one who decides where we improve. He knows us best. He has our best interests at heart. He has invested the most, and he has the most to gain or lose by us succeeding in the plans that he has for us. You see, as we, when we, if we obey the Lord's will collectively, we're going to reach a lot of people for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's going to fill the ranks of heaven. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. And we're going to change eternity for millions and millions of years because we let him tell us where we needed to improve. But now we have a problem. And guys, this is not meant to be anything but real. I'm not slapping anybody here. I'm raising my hand and saying I was here once. And if you're here today, man, we need to make sure, we need to correct this. And this is the problem. Many of us do not have confidence in our ability to hear from God. We don't. And that's okay. It's okay to not have confidence in your ability to hear from God. Well, it's not okay to stay in like that.
Amen.
And so if nothing else, if this is an area that we need to improve, I'm asking you to take these notes down. I'm asking you to get this message. Listen to it again on BethelLonedale.com. And let's this week, let's get ready to hear from God what he wants us to improve upon for 2022. So how to hear from God this week, point number one, a change of place and a change of pace brings a whole new perspective. Now, I shared some of these thoughts, not in this fashion, a couple Sunday nights ago after I had a prayer retreat with Larry Barker. Larry Barker is our executive director of North American Missions, meaning he is the fella that does the work of getting church plants planted in North America. We've asked him to go recruit church planters, train church planters, and get them going throughout the nation and Canada and I think Mexico too, North America. So you'd have to tell me if that, does that, that doesn't include Mexico, does it? North America? It does. There you go. All right, so watch this. Larry Barker came. Now, if y'all thought I was smart, that helped, didn't it? That helped. I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where to find food, folks. So, amen. Larry Barker came and sat down with eight of our pastors in the state and Merrimack Association. And we had a prayer retreat. And, you know, we didn't know what to expect. We've never done one of these before. We did not know what to expect. This is what we did. We sat down for an hour when we first got there, and Brother Larry just talked about what it means to praise God. And then he said, go somewhere for 45 minutes to an hour and do what we just talked about. Get along with God and praise him. Then we came back and we talked for an hour about what it means to repent. And then we went somewhere by ourselves and we repented. Then we came back the next morning, and we talked about what it means to ask God for something. And then we went alone by ourselves, and we asked God. Then we came back for the last hour of the retreat, and we learned what it means to yield, to listen. And then we went and did it. And church, please hear me. Your pastor learned some things, and it was oh so good. I came back, and I told my family, we're going to do this. Now, my daughter, who is a wonderful soul, but she's not as open-booked, if you will, as her dad, a couple days after I made that announcement, we're all going to do this as a family, she said, Dad, I'm really not into going somewhere for a day and a half and sharing all my problems. I said, well, you completely misunderstand what we're not going to do that. If it ends up that way, that's you and God. We're going to go and talk for an hour about praise, and then we're going to go by ourselves somewhere and praise the Lord. Oh. Then we're going to talk about repenting for an hour, and then we're going to go somewhere and repent for an hour. Oh. So communication is a beautiful thing when it happens, and I had not communicated very well. A change of place and a change of pace brings about a new perspective. Church, I've gone to the retreat center a lot of times, And almost every time I go there, I end up praying because it's a beautiful place. It's easy to get in connection with the God of creation at Richwoods. With that said, though, watch this. I wasn't in my usual places. It was a change of place. And we sat down and just talked about praying. That was a change of pace. And then, wow, God opened my eyes to several things. And that's what I'm asking and begging and hoping and praying for everyone in this room this week. Now, that's point number one. Point number two, determining God's voice is going to be the loudest in your life. Determining that God's voice is going to be the loudest voice in your life. That was one of the things that Brother Larry said. That was one of the things that when he said it, my hair blew back. Lord, help. Too many times in Brother Ben's life, God's voice is not the loudest voice in my life. Too many times I drowned out God's voice. Too many times this world drowns out God's voice. Too many times my sin drowns out God's voice. Fill in the blank. And church, I know I'm not alone. Is God's voice the loudest voice in our life? And so I just got a few, this is all advice. And a lot of this is so, we hear it a lot, but please listen again for the first time. Here we go. For you note takers, and I love you and appreciate you so much. This is what has to happen for that to happen. For God's voice to be the loudest voice in your life, something along these lines has to happen. First of all, you got to have a spot. Change of place, got to have a spot. For some of you, it's your car. You have a 30-minute commute. You have an hour commute. Praise the Lord. That's a wonderful spot. For me, it's on the left end of the counter in the kitchen. That's my spot. Open God's word, and he and I communicate. You need to have a spot. B, God's word has to be involved. Church, listen to me. We struggle, don't we? I just wish I knew God's will. I just wish God would speak. He's got Genesis through Revelation. He's trying to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. He will open his word up to you. You've got to let him. You've got to expose yourself to his word. C, sins have to be confessed. You are not going to listen and hear from God if you are harboring sin. If you're keeping sin in your life, you're not going to hear from God. The Bible says God will not listen to you if you have iniquity in your heart. You've got to get those sins confessed. Now, some of you may say, well, Brother Ben, I've sinned so much, I've forgotten some of them. You know what? The Holy Spirit hadn't forgotten one of them, and he'll gladly bring them to mind if you'll ask him. You want a shock? Ask the Lord to tell you every area that you need to confess. Get ready and clear some time. Because he will love you enough to tell you, these are the areas you've got to get right with me before you can go any further with me. D, others have to be accounted for. You're not going to have a wonderful time with the Lord if you've got other people that you have offended that you haven't made right. Now, church, please hear me. 98.9% of the things and issues like this can be taken care of between you and God. Lord, forgive me for getting offended about that. Forgive me for taking exception to what that, you know, when that was said. Forgive me for being upset with so-and-so. You can take care of that stuff between you and God. But the things that you've done to somebody, you need to get that straightened out. Whether it's a phone call, whether it's face-to-face, whatever the case may be. E, proper introductions. Do you know who God is? Did you know, and I'm at second service, you can Google the attributes of God and you'll find them. Just praise him. Properly introduce yourself. Lord, this is me. You know who I am. You know what I am. You know what you had to do to forgive me, to save me. Amen. And I need to know who you are. Will you show me? Remember Moses? Lord, will you show me your glory? If you'll ask him to do it, he'll do it. I promise you. He'll take you through his word. If you need help, go to the Psalms. If you need help, research it. Lastly, under this point, F, faith is a must. Faith is an absolute must. If you go into this thinking, well, you know, Brother Ben, he's kind of off center a little bit. I just don't know if this is going to work or not. Well, you're not wrong on that. I'm off center a little bit. Maybe a whole lot if you talk to my wife. But watch this. I'm telling you what I have experienced. And I promise you, if you go to seek God, you will find him. Amen. I promise you. He wants you to know him more than you want to know him. And as you seek him, you will find him. You've got to have faith that this is going to happen. You'll never know how small you or your problem is until your God is all you can see.
Amen.
We've got to get our view on him. Number three. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. This is what Samuel did when he was trying to hear from God. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. That simply means that the scant, scarce word of God, Genesis through Exodus basically, that was about all they had. And there was no open vision. God wasn't speaking through a prophet at that time. And so if you were going to hear from God, apart from those few books that were already written, God was going to have to speak to you. Verse 2. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Point number three. I'm lovingly challenging you this week to ask God, what improvements do I need to make this year so that I can be a greater servant in your kingdom? Watch this. And then just listen. This is what Brother Larry challenged us that weekend. He said, take 2 minutes. Set your clock if you have to. Set your stopwatch. 2 minutes. Just listen. Have the Word of God open. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit leadership. Just listen. And have a pen and paper ready. Have your phone and notes ready. Whatever the case may be. He'll speak to you if you'll ask him to. Now, I don't know if this stuff is revolutionary. I doubt that it is. But church, watch this. You remember point number two of last week's message? Your obedience to God's plans for your life is supported by the full cast of God's entourage. On a spiritual level, every person in here has an amazing plan that God has for us, but it's going to take him moving heaven and earth in our lives to accomplish those things. Watch this. But it all starts with our obedience. Here am I, Lord. Speak. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Whatever the case may be. Awana leaders, we should never show up on Wednesday night until we've prayed that prayer type thing. Now please show up when we have Awana again. But just while you're driving here, make sure, Lord, use me tonight. Sunday school teachers, we ought to pray that prayer before we get in our Sunday school class. Lord, use me. I try as a discipline before I get through my walk here on a Sunday morning to go through my prayer time with the Lord. And not just my regular prayer time, but my Sunday morning prayer time. I ask for the Lord to move in these services. I ask the Lord to save someone, so on and so forth. It's very appropriate if every one of us would do that before we walk through those doors. In church, it's very appropriate this week in preparing for what God would have us to improve upon that we'd ask him, what do you want us to improve upon this year? And I'm just going to be real with you. Most of the stuff that you would put on the list, he's going to put on the list too. If it's on an organizational level, if it's something that will truly bring improvement to your life, he's going to already have it on his list. So you don't need to worry about that. But watch this. If some of the things you wanted are not on his list, we need to be okay with that and move from there. Let's stand. Musicians, will you come? Every head bowed, every eye closed. 2 minutes. Daily. Take at least 2 minutes. Hear my speak. And this is after you've done those other things. You've praised him. You've repented. You've worshiped him. You've made things right with other people. You've sought him. You've cleared off a spot. You've read his word. And then you ask him, what do I need to improve upon this year? 2 minutes at least. And this is what I wrote down underneath this. Ask your master, creator, friend, counselor, confidant, lawyer, protector, guide, provider, sustainer, breath, your life, the lover of your soul, what New Year's resolutions, goals, processes, problems to solve would you have me make and do in 2022 that will make me your version of myself? Father, we ask you to do your will and way in this service. Some of us, Father, may need to seek you in this invitation time, whatever the case may be. I'm asking you, Lord, that every person here will commit to you, surrender to you to do at least one of these this week, where we just clear off a spot. We make sure our sins are confessed. We make sure there's not anyone that we need to make amends to, restitution, whatever the case may be. And we praise you and we seek your face through your word. And then we just get quiet and say, Lord, what would you have me do? Speak to me. Lord, if there's someone here that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, we pray that they'll be saved, for it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. Will you come?
God, I give you all I can today. These scattered ashes that are hid away, I lay it all at your feet. From the corners of my deepest shame,
will you come?
The empty places where I wore your
show me the love.
I say I believe. Help me to lay it down.
Savior's loss in the crimson flowing from the cross. Pour over me. Yes, oh, let this be where I die. My Lord, with once and for all.
Sorry, that was my bad. Y'all may be seated. We do have another, not guest, but VIP that's here with us that I failed to mention, and that's Anthony Pelton is here visiting his family, and we're thrilled to have him with us. Let's give the Lord a hand on that. My thanks to Brother David Mills to reminding me of that. Folks, I appreciate a collective brain. I really do. Is there anything to come before us before we dismiss? No services tonight, no Awana, no BRH on Wednesday night. And then, of course, next Sunday, at this moment, we're planning a full slate of services. We will have our young people to tell us how things went at Alive and such for sure in the second service, and we'll develop that as it goes. Anything you need to say about Alive, Brother Brad?
See him here tomorrow about
3:45. Be here tomorrow to head that way. We haven't had it live at least. Did we miss it twice or once?
Once.
All right. So, anybody else? Anything else? How long are you with us, Hannah?
Till the first.
Praise the Lord. How long are you with us?
Wednesday,
John?
Second.
All right, January 2nd. Anthony, how long are you with us? Leaving tomorrow, he says. Anybody else of our special guest?
Lucas,
when are you leaving?
First,
all right. So we got these folks here a little bit. If you haven't been able to hug their neck or shake their hand or pat their back, whatever your COVID rules are, get by and tell them how much you love them. We're thrilled that they're here. Let's all stand. Would like for you to take notice of the time. And no, I'm not making a New Year's resolution to preach this short every Sunday. Forget it. But nonetheless, wow, he says, wow. But it's still nice to think about it. All right. I love you, church. We had a very, because as you know, we usually try to get down south, and we will try to do that at some point in January. It just didn't work for this week. And a very rare opportunity that the Kingston Five had was to be at home on Christmas. And it was a blessing. And one of the neatest blessings was knowing that I was still close to you here. I love you. If there's not anything else to come before us, we're going to sing and dismiss. Here we go. Father, I love you. I thank you for this opportunity. Stash to dismiss us now. Help us to enjoy our families this evening and throughout the week. We pray, Father, that you'll help us to meet with you and just hear from you what you would have us do to improve for 2022.